This is Cameroon Calling. Our weekly magazine of news reports, interviews, commentaries, opinions, and analysis. Is a production of the news department of the Cameroon Radio Television Corporation, CRTV.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to Cameroon Calling. Government is constituted from a problem resolution strategy. That's why it always seeks to reform. The Cameroon Civil Service is one institution that has witnessed unending reforms down the years. For a civil service with a painfully slow and moribund mode of processing files, the latest innovation with regard to the career of state personnel and payroll management cannot but be a welcome development. The advent of modern technology requires the civil service to reinvent itself to be ICT innovative or perish. The application of ICT in the conduct of government business around the world has led to greater service efficiency and effectiveness. In Cameroon, the digitization or transfer of core processes online is expected to go a long way in dealing with the perennial issues of administrative bottlenecks, corruption, inertia, and lack of celerity in civil service delivery. Otherwise, it just may be one reform too many that's tantamount to movement without motion, as in a barber's shop. The new state personnel and payroll management system in repositioning Cameroon civil service in the age of ICT. That's our focus today. I am Sam Bokuba, accompanied by the CC crew. First things first, the news roundup and the week in retrospect with Kelly Eben. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Sam. Muslims in Cameroon are this Sunday morning trooping to prayer grounds where a symbolic sacrifice will be made to mark the Feast of Tabaski. The morning prayers will be followed by feasting in homes in the afternoon. Given that the Feast of Sacrifice has fallen on a Sunday, the President of the Republic has, in conformity with the 1976 law, declared this Monday, June the 17th, a public holiday throughout the Republic of Cameroon. Cameroon also joined the African continent today in commemorating the 34th edition of the Day of the African Child, around the theme, Education for All Children in Africa, the time is now. Festivities to mark the day billed for this Wednesday, the 19th of June 2024, at the Yaoundé 7 Council, will be presided over by the Minister of Social Affairs, Pauline Irene Guinea. Members of the upper and lower houses of parliament converged on the Yaoundé Conference Center during the week for the second ordinary session of the 2024 legislative year, wherein a series of bills were tabled and channeled to the different competent committees for substantive study and scrutiny. Opening the June session in the Upper House of Parliament, Senate President Marcel Nyach Jifenji appealed on the different parties concerned with the crisis surrounding Cameroon football to dialogue for the common interest of Cameroonians. Meanwhile, at the National Assembly, the House Speaker, the Right Honourable Kavayegi Jibril, castigated politicians who are planning to create chaos if they do not win next year's presidential elections. The government of Cameroon is in the process of making final negotiations with its partners in view of the construction of a bypass around Yaoundé. The information was revealed during the 27th session of the National Road Board, which was chaired by the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph John Guti. Deliberations at the meeting focused on the construction of bypass roads around major cities and the mechanism for funding such projects. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph John Guti, also inaugurated the Betwa Regional Hospital Center. The ultra-modern hospital, which comes after those of Bafoussam, Ebolova, and Garoua, seeks to bring quality health care at affordable cost closer to the population. In sports, Colombe Sportive of Ja and Lobo will play against Aigle Royal of the Menwa in the final of the 2024 Cup of Cameroon in football. Colombe humbled Isosa of Limbe by 3-0 in the semi-final of the CAF Excellence Center in Bankomo, while Aigle Royal won Mintak FC of Upper Sanaga by 1-0 at the Fekafoot Technical Center in Oja. Elsewhere in the news, 1,312 candidates found guilty of presenting fake certificates in the competitive examination into the Gendarmerie and Defence Forces have been dismissed, according to a release made public recently by the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of Defence, Joseph Betty Asomo. Of the 1,312 candidates, 661 of them presented fake BEPC certificates from a neighbouring country and 65 fake ordinary and advanced level certificates. The National Blood Transfusion Center has disclosed that it still falls short of 240,000 packs of blood to attain its desired objective of 400,000 blood packs per year to save lives. This was disclosed during commemorative activities to mark the 20th World Blood Donors Day, hinged on the theme celebrating 20 years of giving. Thank you, blood donors. Stakeholders used the occasion to sound a clarion call for all Cameroonians to catch the blood donation train in order to rescue more lives. Back to you, Sam.
Thanks, Kelly. The newspapers of the week are reviewed for us by Rigobert Maniga. Hi, Rigobert.
Hello, Sam. Discipline and probity in Cameroon's defense forces plus the PM's inauguration of the Betwa Regional Hospital are some of the stories carried by the papers during the week. According to municipal updates, the Ministry of Defense has uncovered close to 1,500 fake certificates from candidates as it strives to strengthen the country's defense members through recruitment, while the Guardian Post qualifies the incident as another crown of shame for Cameroon. The paper has gone further to tell the story of the ministry's dismissal of 4 soldiers accused of paying military honors to a traditional ruler. Both stories have been carried by the national bilingual daily Cameroon Tribune, which notes that heavier sanctions await future fraudsters and military misconduct. These reports are coming at a time when The Voice is telling a story of armed fighters countering Dio's motorbike curfew with attacks on taxis in Bamenda. Another story in the papers is the inauguration of the Betwa Regional Hospital. According to the Guardian Post, Prime Minister Joseph Dion Guti, who carried out the inauguration exercise, said quality and affordable health care remain key pillars of government's social action. The evaluation of the level of progress made by the task force charged with implementing the new computerized system for the integrated management of the state human resources and the payroll is also another story, while the French language newspaper Le Témoin understands the importance of the evaluation of the progress in the project led by Public Service Minister Joseph Le. Realité Plus says the minister has called for professionalism on the part of members of the task force in a bid to up the quality of service rendered to public service users in Cameroon. The story carried by Le Quotidien speaks of considerable success with the functioning of 12 out of 14 modules in the new system. Read more details of the story in Cameroon Tribune. Back to you, Sam.
Thanks for the newspaper review, Rigobert. Stand by for highlights of the program.
We can imagine that you are supposed to leave your region to come and follow files, whereas they promise everything is automatic. I say it because I've been a victim. My reclassification took about 5 years to be signed.
We still have a few difficulties when it comes to those who have a special status. In this light, we think about the magistracy, the defense, the penitentiary administration. We even talk about the police, even those in the higher education, for whom CGPS has not been able to cover all their career situations.
Everything will change because many actions we make today will be digitalized. Many things will be done automatically after the integration, let us say advancement, reclassification, and even the payment of some benefits. Everything will be done automatically, which means that there will be a lot of advantages for everybody. Instead of constituting a file to have just one advancement, everything will now go on automatically. There will be a lot of security in the system. With the new system now, when I have an information at Minfopra, my colleague, the Minister of Finance, will have the same information at the same time. And if Mr. George Kellogg comes and puts something in the system, anyway, he will not be able to do it. But if you have some privileges, as we used to say, you come into the system, you put an information, I will immediately know that Mr. Colon has done something in the system. This is what he did at this second, at this minute. And we'll be able to follow you. If you have to be punished, we'll be punished. Because for the moment, with the two systems, I can create, let us say, a matricule at Minfopra. I have to send it to Antelope, at the Minister of Finance. But between the two, many things can happen.
Today's CC Soundbite.
Cameroon Calling. Cameroon Calling, we give you both sides of the story.
The digitization of civil service processes is taking shape in Cameroon. This follows a new state personnel and payroll management system presented during the week by the Minister of the Public Service and Administrative Reform. The expectations are that digitization will not only bring about efficiency in performance, but also greatly enhance the career management of civil servants. If these expectations are to be met in record time, then the government should do everything to hasten the process and ensure that it is implemented in full measure. Henry McCauley.
Going digital is not a matter of choice, but of principle. Like it or not, the era of paper-stacked offices and cabinets is over. Just like the culture of submitting physical documents to services organizations for business or administrative procedures and purposes. With a few digital tools, managing, storing, and treating documents have become much easier. For example, in the past, it took months to either obtain a passport or to declare your tax. With the advent of digital technologies, it takes a maximum of 48 hours to obtain a passport and just a click on your phone or laptop to declare your tax today in Cameroon. The paperwork is nearly absent and you don't necessarily need to be there. These feats can be replicated in different ministries, agencies, and departments or if you like, in the entire public service. Meaning the public service can leave aside paperwork and use software to provide quality services to its users, develop a transparent, efficient, effective, and accountable system, and above all, manage the careers of civil servants. This model assumes that physical documents become virtual. So the headache of civil servants traveling from one destination to another to submit files or documents has to disappear. Documents can be scanned and sent to a centralized database from where such documents can be accessed at any time or anywhere in the country without the civil servant necessarily being present at their ministries, agencies, or departments. To many analysts, digitization will bring about efficiency, security of documents, it will reduce the cost for users and the government, avoid physical damage of documents, and above all, make the civil servants to be productive. Given that civil servants will not need to obtain permission every now and then to travel to the central administration to submit files or documents once their biodata is keyed into the centralized database. The data can stay there for as long as the government will need it, and again, it will be easier to be accessed by any structure that will need the biodata of a civil servant. However, experts are of the opinion that while the digitization of the public service is being applauded, officials should not forget to tighten security. They warned that digital documents can be faked or information on virtual documents can be tampered with. That notwithstanding, the majority of experts in digital issues are unanimous that there is every reason for the public service to go digital because the paperwork option has been the reason why it has been extremely difficult to fight corruption, mediocre performance, and inefficiency within the public service.
Henry McCauley. For several years, civil servants in Cameroon have suffered the ordeal of bureaucratic bottlenecks in matters related to their careers, salaries, and even retirement pension. The Cameroon government has been making moves towards handling the situation through the introduction of application softwares, namely Antelope and CGPS, and now the new CGPS and Antelope. In the write-up that follows, Winston Lebgar traces the path covered so far in the system of managing state employees.
The pinch of what goes on in the management of state employees' careers and financial entitlements is felt not only by the thousands of civil servants, but by many other people related to them, friends, well-wishers, family members, and children. In Cameroon, those who have jobs in the civil service are considered as the privileged few, and they are expected to offer their best for the general good of the country. The question now is, why must they go through hard times to get their dues? One of them is a woman I will call Candace. She had to make the trip from Bamenda to Yaoundé many times, chasing her files, as the exercise is known in the local parlance.
We can't imagine that you are supposed to leave your region to come and follow files, whereas they promise no, everything is automatic. I say it because I've been a victim. My reclassification took about 5 years to be signed by the public service.
At one point, the file was said to be missing, a situation that compels many people to grease a few palms.
When you go there, they don't trace it. They take their time. They don't even attend to you. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the bitter truth. Since I was reclassified on 2019, it's 5 years later. Can you imagine? February 2024, that my reclassification was signed. It's a pity. At a certain level, I was forced to go extra mile. Because last time I applied and I told them, if by March my document is not signed, I will surely come and meet the minister. But thanks to God, it was done.
To tackle such discomforting experiences, in the mid-1980s, the government introduced an application software for the management of salaries and pensions known by its French acronym, Antelope. Later on, another application software was brought in, known as CGPS, and this one was to handle career matters like integration, reclassification, transfer from one administration to another, effective service, leave of absence, recognition and sanctions. At the Ministry of Public Service and Administrative Reforms, the director in charge of career management is Akko Rose Egbe Adim. She says CGPS is effectively managing the careers of state employees governed by the general statutes of the civil service.
We still have a few difficulties when it comes to those who have a special statute. In this light, we think about the magistracy, we think about the defense, we think about the penitentiary administration. We even talk about the police, even those in the higher education, for whom CGPS has not been able to cover all their career situations as of date. Persons who are governed by this general statute of the public service, who work in ministries concerned by this category of personnel, are okay. But for those who are under that special status, so far CGPS does not cover all their career management processes.
With two application softwares, Antelope for Salaries and Pensions and CGPS for Career Management Operations, the interface is not fluid and the problem persists.
We have career situations which mostly differs from what we have in the salary situations. We have people who have had change of grades, and on the part of the salary, it takes weeks. No, I should say it takes sometimes months to have the situation changed or affected in the salary situation. That is why sometimes integration instruments are signed and the salary does not follow immediately after. The ideal situation would have been that as soon as a young person is absorbed into the public service, the following month, that person should have a salary. So far, it is not the case.
With the two application softwares, it is difficult to have a clear idea about the number of employees under the state's payroll and the actual situation, because CGPS has its data and figures that are not necessarily the same for Antelope. This is a factor that also accounts for the ignorance about those who've left for greener pastures or who've simply abandoned their duty posts and who continue to get paid. Cameroon's Minister of Public Service and Administrative Reforms, Joseph Lee, recently announced during the Joint Ministerial Committee session on the matter that the process is changing to a higher gear. The plan is for a new CGPS that will handle everything, careers, salaries and pensions, with the hope that it will put to rest all the issues currently raised.
Winston Lebga on Cameroon Calling to throw light on the new state employee and payroll management system is none other than the Minister of the Public Service and Administrative Reform, Joseph Lee. In the following interview, George Kelong first asked Minister Lee what is going to change with the new state employee and payroll management system.
What is going to change is very important, because we are putting in place a new system of management of careers and payroll. And we will not stop there. We will go beyond on this. We are also going to put in place a system of biometry to control and master the number of staff of the state and also control presence in post of duty. Then we will also put in place a system, electronic system, to well manage our archives and documents. Because, as you know, our public administration deals with a lot of papers, too much paper. You know, if you have a file in an administration today and it takes long, sometimes after, when you come, they tell you that one paper is missing. We have lost one or two papers, which is not good because the system is not digitalized. So from now, we want to turn that page and do with another system, a new one, which is the new CGPS. We are working on it. I don't know if we will continue to call it CGPS, but We are working on it. And the meeting we held last Thursday was very important because it marks a new step in the process. We have started implementing the functioning of that new system. We have been constructing, we have been building, and now we want to let it move. We want to let it function and see if everything is already on a good move. That's why I tell you that it's very important, this step. And after some time, I hope we'll be able to talk of a kind of revolution in the management of careers and payroll in Cameroon.
Before we zoom in on the new system, it was announced that last Friday, the new system had to be functioning side by side the old system that was made up of Antelope and CGPS. How is that going to work out?
Yeah, it's a kind of parallelism because, you know, we already have something that is working. We have, for the moment, Antelope for the payroll, and we have CGPS that is functioning now for the management of careers. But the new system will combine both Antelope and the CGPS that is working today. As I told you, we are still putting it in place. Now we want it to start working. So to start working, we don't need to take off what is already functioning. It will be very dangerous. That's why, for the beginning, we want to put both, all of them, in a kind of parallelism. In one side, we have the new system, and in other side, we have the one that is functioning. Which means that if you want to, let us say, make your integration, we will put the information in the current system, and the same information we put in the new system. So at the end, when we have your integration, we should be able to make a kind of comparison to be sure that what is coming out of the new system, the output of the new system, is exactly the same we have in the old system, to be sure that we are moving without any problem. It's after some time, maybe 1 year or 2 years, that we will take away the old system to continue with the new one.
Mr. Minister, you did announce also that out of the 14 modules, 13 have already been validated, and it's only one that is still to be validated.
They are being validated. They are being validated because, you know, after putting in place a module, we need to be sure that it's okay, that everything is okay. And we also need to train the future users. We need to train them. We need to let them start using it and tell us what they think about it. It's that important exercise we are doing since last January. And from the 14th of June, we will start working in a kind of parallelism, as I told you, with the old system to be sure that everything is okay.
When you talk about users, yes, there, you are referring to those who manage human resources in the various ministries.
Those who manage human resources in the ministries, because they are also those who manage the careers of state employees. Because, as you know, the system of management of careers has been deconcentrated, which means that each ministry manages its staff, and they are doing it. That's why we need to train those who will use the new system so that they should not have many, many problems. They are being trained since January the 2nd, 2024, and we will continue training them. It's important for them to master the system. We are training them, and we let them walk by themselves to be sure that they know everything. After that, we will continue to accompany them in their administrations. That's why we will put in place many teams that will go in all the administrations to work with them for a certain time, and after that, they can continue to do it.
The 13 or the 14 modules, what actually do those modules contain?
They contain many things. Millions and millions of information. In the career, you have many, many acts that must be produced for the benefit of users. Let us take somebody who enters in the public service. At the beginning, he has to be recruited or integrated. When he has been integrated, he will now have a career for about 25 or 30 years And even more, during that career, there will be many acts of career. Integration, reclassification, and so on. Even retirement. All that will be managed during his career. Even punishments, discipline matters. We put them inside and we will manage all of that. So we need to have everything concerning somebody who is a state worker and continue to manage it until the end of his career, until retirement, and even when he dies. Because, you know, after going on retirement, you still have something the state pays to you. Even when you die, your children or your wife, I don't know who, will benefit of what you have produced while working.
Now that the system is functioning alongside the old one, when the new system effectively goes operational, what will concretely change as far as the management of state personnel and the payroll is concerned?
Many things will change. I could even say everything will change, because many, many, many actions we make today will be digitalized. Many, many things will be done automatically. After the integration, let us say advancement, reclassification, and even the payment of some benefits, everything will be done automatically, which means that there will be a lot of advantages for everybody. Instead of constituting a file to have an advancement, just one advancement, everything will now go on automatically. If you have to advance every 2 years, it will be automatic and you will have effects in your salary. There are many, many other advantages, which means that we are going to absolutely modernize our public service and it will facilitate things for everybody. We no more need people coming from, let us say, the far north or southwest, east, and so on to follow their career. Except if you have a disciplinary problem with your administration. If you have a disciplinary problem, we will stop it until the problem is solved. After that, it will continue smoothly without any problem. As I also said, the state will make a lot of economy. Because when you control presence, if somebody doesn't come to his post of duty, let us say for 1 week, the system will automatically stop his salary until he comes and justifies why he didn't come to the office. So you see, we control presence. We also master the number of staff. We master the amount of money, salaries, we have to pay to civil servants. This will make the state have a lot of economy and it will be very interesting and important for everybody.
Tell me, Mr. Minister, at the moment, Antelope is lodged in the Ministry of Finance while CGPS is in the Ministry of Public Service and Administrative Reform.
Yeah.
Where will this new system be?
This is not important. At the Ministry of Finance, at the Ministry of Public Service, or elsewhere, it is not important. But let me tell you that we have Senadi. We will have, I'm sure, something at Senadi, something at Minfopra, and maybe a backup somewhere. I will not tell you because we are still trying to see where it can go. It's important to deconcentrate. If you put everything in the same place and you have a fire that comes and destroys everything, you will lose everything. That's why concerning such a system, we need to have one, two, and even three backups. Maybe not only in Yaoundé. We can also have a backup, let us say in Douala or I don't know where. Which means that if the system in Yaoundé falls down, we immediately implement the one we have in Douala or somewhere else.
When you were talking about the benefits of the system, the new system, you sounded so optimistic. But then, what if somebody tells you that the new system will still be managed by human beings and that as far as the computer is concerned, garbage in, garbage out, it is still human beings who will feed information into the machines?
It will be human beings, like you and myself. But let me tell you that there will be a lot of security in the system. We'll put a lot of security. With the new system now, when I have an information at Minfopra, my colleague, the Minister of Finance, will have the same information at the same time. At the same time. And if Mr. George Kellong comes and puts something in the system, anyway, he will not be able to do it. But if you have some privileges, as we used to say, You come into the system, you put an information, I will immediately know that Mr. Colon has done something in the system. This is what he did at this second, at this minute, and we'll be able to follow you. If you have to be punished, we'll be punished. Because for the moment, with the two systems, I can create, let us say, a matricule at Minfopra. I have to send it to Antelope, at the Ministry of Finance. But between the two, many things can happen. And you can also have people, when they receive, let us say, 10 matricules, they can there create 10 orders and even 100 other matricules. And it makes our state lose a lot of money. I don't want to come back to what we had some years ago with Lebu. You know, we have lost a lot of money. A lot of money because they were able to create something else after what was officially done. And we want to avoid this now. Because with the same system, we will have the same information at the same time. And if somebody else comes and puts something inside, we will know who did it. But before that, before you succeed putting it, there will be a lot of security, 1, 2, or 3 steps before you reach the system. That's why we are working closely with Antique. Antique was with us during the meeting. And, you know, in every document that will come from the system, there will be a QR code that will accompany the document. So if you make a false copy, a wrong copy, we will know that this is not a good one and we can catch you.
You did indicate that the new system will reduce movement and it will limit paperwork as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell those who are in the regions? Would there be units in the regions or how are they going to go about it?
Even today we have units in the region with the current CGPS. We have units in the region. It will be the same thing but modernized and things will be more transparent. Files will go more quickly. When, for example, you come into the public service, we ask you some papers. All those papers will be digitalized. And when you have to go on retirement, if we need your birth certificate, when you have to go on retirement, we'll not ask it from you because we already have it in the system. We will just go back in the system and find everything, all what we need. We will find it inside.
So you are reassuring both state employees and those who are already on retirement that things are going to change for the better.
All of them will be taken into consideration. And even when you go on retirement, for example, the next month you will have what you merit at the end of your service. You will no more have to bring a file because we will have everything in the system. And automatically things will change. Because we know that in about, let us say, 5 years, you have to go on retirement. There will be a kind of countdown, telling you that in 2 months, you have to go on retirement. In 10 days, you will go on retirement. And when it happens, everything will stop. And for the next month, automatically, your pension will be automatically calculated and you will gain it without any effort.
What do you tell doubting Thomases, those who say it's just another noise?
They should just trust us. It's good sometimes to listen, to see and know what is happening. That's why we try to inform the public on what we are trying to do. It's not an easy task because we have a lot of information we need to put in the system. For the moment, the assurance I can give is that, 1, the system already exists. 2, the system already functions. But now we need to continue to implement it gradually, but surely. We need to be sure that those who will use it already master it. That's why it will still take us some time, but I'm sure that in some months we'll have something completely different from what we are having today.
The Minister of the Public Service and Administrative Reform, Joseph Lee, interviewed by George Kelong. This is Cameroon Calling, broadcast on the radio network of the CLTV.
You are a child of the universe, no less trees and the stars, you have arrived.
Desert Iran, Desert Iran.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should.
We will be concluding this abridged edition of Cameroon Calling today due to special prayers to mark the Muslim Feast of Sacrifice that will be broadcast live from the Islamic complex in Chinga Yaoundé. But not before CC Sports with Simon Leunge, who looks at the problem of club licenses in Cameroon football.
The ongoing struggle between the littoral branch of the Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT, and the Kachi Sports Academy is giving many people sleepless nights after the littoral Division 2 outfit was relegated by two championships. Though the club's executive claimed they had put the odds their way to obtain their licenses for their players, FECAFOOT officials called that a conspiracy theory from a member to run down their reputation. In a well-detailed document, the FA explains why the academy could obtain only 11 licenses out of the 50 requested, with a poor compilation of their file blamed for that. Negligence or simply lack of concentration is what the supporters of the academy fail to understand, having been on this beat for over 30 years, conveniently moving along with the changes in the license request system. But far from being just a far cry in the whirlwind, the situation is worrying because it is not an isolated case. This season has been the most disturbing for the obtention of licenses all around the country, with a similar wail emanating from the headquarters of many clubs. In the littoral, for example, away from the Kaji Sports Academy, Poivre of Penja met with a similar fate that was last season. In the Northwest, Gokke Tunja FC and FC Bamenda are out for the season because of insufficient licenses. In the Central Region, Vangde Tudi, a club owned by the emblematic former tennis player Yannick Noah, have not been able to play a single game this season for lack of licenses. Benfica of SA, on their part, were allowed to play two games without identification documents and then no more games. With five delayed matches, it is clear when the regional homologation and disciplinary committee will meet, they too will be declared general forfeiture. Perhaps the bulk of the unfortunate teams is in the Southwest region, with 12 clubs sent packing. Amongst them, the legendary prisons of Boya, just like PWD of Kumba, as well as younger names like Istanbul FC, Little Foot of Tico, Treviso FC, the Catholic University Football Club, Levanda Lions, Southwest United, Panista, and Ajax of Likomba. For most of these, if not all, the chorus is the FA's use of McCarthy's theories aimed at cleansing the voters' register as they approach 2025, which is their electoral year. For the law wouldn't permit them be part of the exercise if they fail to play this season. At the FA, this accusation has never prospered as they produce documents to explain the club's inability to present complete files for their licenses. For them, the era of favoritism is over and clubs, no matter their promoters, must toe the lines. A salutary decision if things must go smoothly, though many still ask why the ever-growing number of clubs without documents in a game where FAs worldwide pride themselves with an expanding number of licensed players to showcase their growth. same who decry the high hand on training clubs that are seen around the globe as the future of the discipline. It is clear, therefore, that either the Cameroon FA is out to make a point or their flow of communication is below par, favoring a wide divide with the clubs who might need to be schooled again on how to enter their documents in the computerized system, when to do so, and the quality of the data. Maybe this could be a palliative measure for many, though they say that they did so last season and got all their licenses. Much must have changed, therefore. In the meantime, the FA has signed a document laying down conditions of eligibility for elite clubs next season. Amongst others, the teams are expected to have junior teams, own training centers, own a head office with clearly specified offices, including a club secretariat to function full-time, and a bank account to be able to accommodate salaries of their workers and players who must sign a contract. On paper, this is exceptional, as it takes the country's football fast out of pure amateurism into a new professional milieu. But many have questions if this is not a dream that could fast be transformed into a nightmare. When we look at our clubs, we see entities that exist in suitcases or car luggage compartments of their promoters. We see clubs that depend mostly on gate takings and subventions to survive, and we see privately owned clubs that have just the president and family members as club officials, pushing them to break from the past and engage the future without a transition period will be like a jump into the unknown. And with that, we'll be far from the end of the list of clubs to be declared general forfeiture and perhaps play a championship with just a few clubs. Should that happen, then the failure would be collective, because even in pedagogy, it is said that when too many students fail in an examination, either they are not interested in the subject or the teacher is unable to teach well.
Simon Leunga with CC Sports. And there we end Cameroon Calling today with contributions from Kelly Aben, Rigobert Madiga, Henry McCauley, Winston Lebga, George Kelong and Simon Leunga, Yannick Ayangma and Bartholomew Njiknye Ekame were the sound recordists, Daniel Mamia at the panel mixer and Marie-Giselle Ongba at the copyright registry. The program was produced by Harrison Ashu with coordination by George Kelong and Valerie Dikosomaru and supervision by Madeleine Sopi-Koto. At the anchor in Yaoundé, and on behalf of the entire crew, I am Sam Bukuba thanking you for listening and wishing a happy feast of the sacrifice to the Muslim faithful.
That was Cameroon Calling, a production of the news department of CRTV. Thank you.